Those of you who are Missalet readers, that was from I fooled you, that was from the vigil. I just threw you off. We always hear the same reading. I wanted to use the vigil tonight, which is my option. And this reading sounds a little bit like the Virgin Mary is getting a subtle put down here, like, well, she's not the one that's blessed. You are for hearing me, and this is not the case at all. She was not blessed because she gave birth to him. She was blessed because she said yes to the angel and said yes to his will. His birth was simply the result of her being yes, her obedience, you know. So that's the point he's making, is that it's not the fact that she bore him, but the fact that she was willing to do what God asked. And that's hard to do, you know. This feast, this is really, along with Easter and Christmas, is really the three most optimistic feasts. Another one that's very optimistic is All Saints Day. This is, of course, about the Virgin Mary, but it's also about us. And we who have come here today, you know, it's a holy day of obligation, but it's also those who are here receive a great gift from God, you know, with all the ups and downs that we have in the world. It's good to know a little bit, a glimpse of the future. This is very real, and all of it will be revealed one day, but everything in it is very scriptural. These are things that we will share in, not the glory she has, but the glory that we are supposed to have. The Lord wants us to have it to the full, the fullness of what we were meant to be, and all of us will be happy with that. That's what God's intention is for us, and that's the reason for the suffering we go through now. In my travels, I've sort of amassed a collection of Virgin Mary places that I've been to, and I'm thinking one of them I often forget about. There are two places that are very interesting. One of them is called Dormition Abbey. I don't know if anybody knows where that is. No, that's if you go to Jerusalem, Mount Zion is not the hill that the Temple Mount is on, but it's near the city, very, very near. And in the time of Christ, it was right outside the city walls. Now it's in the city walls. On it is a place called Dormition Abbey, where one tradition has that Our Lady died. And if you go to the basement, there's a sarcophagus in the crypt chapel, which is that's basically a big stone tomb with an image of a woman on top. And of course, the tomb, of course, is empty. There is an equally strong and perhaps more historically valid tradition that Mary lived later in her life and died in Ephesus. This has come to light in more recent centuries as we've come to realize that the first church ever dedicated to Mary, we believe, was in Ephesus. And in the early church, you never dedicated a church to a certain saint unless they had lived or died there. So the evidence for her having been in Ephesus is very strong. It's almost certain that John had lived there and that Mary was entrusted to him. So it's very reasonable that she had been there and that she most probably died there. This is why at the Council of Ephesus, they proclaim Mary the Mother of God in the Church of St. Mary. So this is where that council was held. There is no, in all of the... In the early church, also, they were very careful to venerate the relics of saints. We know that masses were usually held, especially in Rome and other cities, on the tomb of the saints, especially the martyrs, to emphasize the connection between this world and the world to come, and to give those living strength in their own trials, which were very real, sometimes at the cost of their lives. And this was carried on, of course, today with relics in the altar. And in European churches, you often find the body of a saint right under the altar, sometimes quite graphically. But one saint whose relics no one has ever found or seen is the Virgin Mary. There are no relics of her body. This is another indirect indication that the early church understood this doctrine very well, and that of the Assumption of Mary. When we come to this place, we see ourselves, I think, as we are. Today I was helping a family, arranging a burial for someone, and I was thinking about the Assumption, what a good day it is to think about that, because the reality of our faith is so unbelievable. We just don't think about it very much. When we think about the next world, which is very hard to visualize for all of us, we really don't have an image of heaven. We'd like to think we do, but we don't know. It's beyond anything happy in this world. It has a lot to do with relationships, actually. The happiest things in relationships, and many are unhappy relationships, but the happiest ones is what heaven is like. And in heaven, everybody does the will of God perfectly. That's heaven. To say no to God is hell, eternally. An eternal no would be the opposite place. So Mary lived her life as if she were already in heaven. And when we come to this gospel here that we read from the vigil, Mary gives us an indication of how to live our lives and where we're going. So today, we who are here are gifted by the Holy Scriptures and this great feast day, this great solemnity, which points to the future that all of us are going to have a resurrected body after death. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I want that resurrected body. This one is disappointing me more and more often. I know it's going to get worse, right? But I see some of you understand what I'm talking about. And this, some of us don't want a body, and we say, well, I don't want this, I'm to soon be like an angel who needs it. But that's who we are. We have something that an angel lacks. We have something that can suffer and die for Christ. Something in which Christ himself found his body, the human dignity, so valuable that he took it on himself through the Virgin Mary for all of us. So we look to the future, Mary who's been glorified, and calls from the future for us to fulfill God's will for us, that we will become as perfectly conformed to God's will as possible, so that we will achieve the fullness of a human being in heaven. We don't know what that is yet. We're just seeds, like what's planted in the field every year. We don't know what's going to come up. It looks very different than a seed. We don't know what Mary looks like in heaven. We just know what some of the images from earth look like. They're only types, only images. So we have this great vision of the future, and we need this, because if we don't know where we're going, if we don't have a roadmap, if we don't have a vision, even if it's faulty, of what it looks like at our destination, we can get bogged down in the details of life. And then our Lord, in seeing his mother, or hearing his mother mentioned while he's teaching in Luke, he's walking around, Mary occasionally shows up in these stories, he points out that it is not just blood relations that make us happy or bring us to heaven. For a Jew of his time, if you were related to Abraham, you were in. For Jesus, he says, it's your faith in me that gets you in. It is being conformed to the will of God that makes you like my mother. If you want to be blessed like my mother, say yes to your version of the angel Gabriel when it comes to you. We're not going to see the angel Gabriel, but we will see God's will. And so he invites us to be conformed to his will. And this is what makes us blessed. So not only do we have a vision of the future, but we also have a way to judge the present. When we are in the midst of many decisions, the trials of life, the joys of life, we have various options that we have each day to make a decision from the small to the great. The question would be, does this fulfill the will of God or does it not? This is the great scale on which we can measure our life. Because we know where we're going, because we want to be like Mary, achieve the fullness of humanity in the next world, we want God to be conformed to what God wishes now, because he's trying to prepare us for that. And so this, we have both a tool to get there and a vision for when we arrive. And that's the great gift. Mary, being the mother of the church, she was present at its birth and in more ways than one, calls from the future and the present, because she's actually present where her son is, and she calls to us and continually encourages and prays for those who have come to celebrate this feast and pray otherwise to fulfill God's will and thus share in the joy and glory that she also already has attained.